right, welcome everyone. Episode 45.
We're back.
We're back on a rainy, rainy Friday.
Yes, we are. It sounds like we're on public access radio.
NPR.
Yeah.
Brought to you by
Bird Calls.
All right.
What was that SNL skit where they, it was Pete's Schwetti. I mean, we all know that, but I can't remember anybody that was on it. It was
Alec Baldwin. You mean the Schwetti Balls?
The Schwetti Balls, yeah, the Schwetti Balls. So,
where it's that was a funny one.
Yeah, where they're just really quietly talking into the microphone.
Wasn't that Alec Baldwin?
Yeah, Alec Baldwin was the
Alec
guest.
Alec Baldwin was the main guy.
Yeah. We're dating ourselves. So. But speaking of dating ourselves.
Yeah, so thought it might be an interesting topic today to talk about sort of tools of creativity.
Yes.
And maybe look back on advances in our industry, technological or otherwise.
Totally.
That have sort of helped further the creative industry. And it doesn't have to be our industry. It can be any industry.
Yeah.
I think about the fact that we have this.
Yeah.
Right? Which is helping us podcast.
Totally. We're at a mixing board and these awesome mics and magical things are happening.
Right. So thought that might be kind of interesting. There, you know, there's certain things I know that come to mind for me.
Yeah.
Of course, but I will start by asking you the question.
Okay.
What do you think is the what invention has had the, or advancement has had the single greatest impact on our industry?
Well, the obvious answer is going to be the internet, obviously, right? Yep. But I think if we throw that out the window and we talk specifics about our industry, I would say digital photography has probably impacted our industry the most. Now, I'm a little biased because I grew up with my father being a photographer and whatnot, right? But from my early days of a career, you know, I worked on some dog food pack. I mean, I worked on a bunch of stuff, but we would do a photo shoot and it was, hey, you would shoot black and white Polaroids, right? To get all the lighting. You'd go in, you know, we'd be ready to shoot whatever it is, models or products or whatever.
Right.
You know, you've got a 2 1/4 old school, you know, Hasselblad camera and you are shooting Polaroids to make sure the lighting is all correct and whatever. Then you swap out the back of the camera with your transparency film, your 2 1/4 transparencies or whatever the case may be, right? There it is. And then you shoot all day and you kind of are just hoping that
what you got is
kind of tied back to the black and white Polaroids, right? I mean, even though now we're shooting color, right? So you shoot all day, you know, you have to send your film off to a lab to be processed and developed, right? And then you get back your transparencies, you know, a few days later. I mean, it depends on where you are in the metro market or whatever, if you rush things. But you get your photos back, you know, call it a couple days later. And then you've got, you know, loops and light tables. I mean, you're looking at your photos in a little 2-inch square through a little magnifying glass, right, to look and try to figure out which ones you
which
like.
Which ones, what your selects are.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And then you've got to send those things out to be drum scanned. Right, so that you can actually get a file that is worthy of making an ad for. So, I mean, it's insane that, like, you know, you've got, call it a week and a half with kind of a hope and a prayer, and like, the color lab screwed up the film. Oh, you're done. You know, I mean, like, you know, I mean, anything could happen in those things, right? Versus now, where hey, you do a photo shoot, you see every single photo the second it's happening. You know, everything full color, and then I'm walking at the end of the day with this, with gigantic 16-bit TIFF files, you know, 200 meg files that, you know, like, there's no color labs. I mean, to the detriment of whoever.
There's no processing.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole processing component has been completely eliminated.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, it's easy to say, you know, hey, Photoshop or, you know, other sort of technological advances. Obviously, digital revolution helps streamline not only our workflow, but everybody's workflow. But I would say digital photography probably has the biggest impact. For me, that's what I would say. As you know, and sometimes you could argue to the detriment.
I was just thinking that
because it's we'll just fix it in post. Oh, change that green to red. Oh, you know, retouch in that glass. And it's
or also the idea that because everybody has an amazing phone in their pocket now,
everybody's a photographer.
Everybody's a photographer.
Yep, exactly.
Much to the chagrin of actual photographers. And also too, I think sometimes, not all the time and not everybody certainly, but sometimes clients aren't as informed about the skill level and what it takes to actually pull off a great photo.
Yeah. So we do, you know, a lot of consumer retail packaging, food-based business, right? And nothing sells food like big, beautiful photography of food that looks delicious, that hits all your flavor triggers, you know? And so, hey, you need a photographer, you need a food stylist, yep. right? You need assistants, you gotta be cooking. You know, there's a whole thing that goes into making that food look amazing that might be taken for, not for granted now, but not necessarily as appreciated because, yeah, to your point, everybody's got an iPhone 14 Max, you know?
With like 10,000 photos on my phone.
yeah,
I
exactly.
mean, at any
yeah.
given time.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, I would say digital photography from an agency perspective. What about your thoughts? I mean, I'm coming on it from a design
perspective.
Well,
my quick anecdote to that is that for my Katie Ross, is my daughter, her 18th birthday, she wanted a film camera. She was like, I'm tired of my, like, I want an actual film camera.
Dude, that's awesome. I love that.
Which you can't really buy new anymore.
Yeah.
Like the market for new film cameras, I mean, you can, but it's super high end stuff. So if you want just like the Nikon, you know, classic.
Yeah. SLR.
SLR kind of thing. You got to buy like a new refurbished one.
That's interesting. Now, are we talking 35 millimeter?
35 millimeter.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We're 35 millimeter. So I bought her one. And
where do you get film for that?
Great question. Yeah. So a week and a half ago, she was like, hey, she had played around with it, noodled around with it. And she's like, okay, now what do I do?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, first we're going to call CVS, I guess, and see if they still develop. I mean, because we grew up going to the drugstore and you drop
for
off
sure.
your film.
For sure.
And that was the other thing too. I mean,
or the click and.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're done, you got to pop up on the camera.
Yeah.
Like just to get the film out. It's so great. You rotate the little thing around.
You got to wind it.
It's very mechanical feeling.
Yeah.
And then, so anyway, good news, CVS still develops film.
Okay, fascinating.
Which is great.
Yeah.
But I mean, same thing, like there was nothing like hoping that the roll of film you're dropping off comes back great.
Yeah.
And you wait for 3 days or 4 days and then you go pick it up and you got your envelope and you're you know, flipping through.
Yeah.
And your negatives. They always gave you your negatives
too.
Yeah,
No one ever saved their negatives or knew what to do with their negs, you know?
No.
So.
No.
My dad, to this day, I'm pretty sure still has boxes and boxes and boxes of negs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's time to get rid of those, Dad.
Time to get rid of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that story about about kicking it old school with, I should do a day class with Matt, you know, Matt Brown.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, he would love that. He's got the full, and we should have Matt on the podcast sometime. He's got a full cabinet of all the old cameras, you know?
Oh, that's
And he's got like the spy camera, like the little miniature camera. He's got all sorts of crazy stuff over there, which is cool.
I guess if you're a photographer,
you kind of have to have the collection. Yeah.
Anyway, typewriter.
Typewriter.
That was my quick shift to industry advances.
Yes. Going from a typewriter to, you know.
Typewriter. I'm typing now. I'm not writing anymore.
Yeah.
That's a huge one, I think.
When you grew up, did you have a typewriter in your house? Like an old school typewriter?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had one as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we had one though. I used to type on it and type things up and do whatever, but why did we
have
one?
With the metal arm, the ching ching.
Yeah, where you push it back, you know.
Like the MTV news.
Yeah, it goes to the end and then you push it back to whatever. Yeah.
And then it was the word processor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Then it went word processor. So anyway, I think about, you know, that, I mean, in terms of, if I think about, you know, one of my skill sets, just straight copywriting, of course, the pencil.
Yeah.
Would be a great advent.
Yeah, you're going
I'm
old
going
school.
All the way back.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
going all the way back.
Yeah. You're not writing with charcoal anymore.
Well, I'll tell you, this whole ChatGPT.
Yeah. I talked to Mike about it on
that. That'll be interesting to see where and how that goes, because now, I'm just coming at it from a writing perspective.
Yeah.
You just ask that and it writes for you, which is terribly dangerous.
Absolutely. Write me a blog post on something.
Yeah.
It just does it.
It's like a logo generating software.
Well, this will show you how fast this is moving, is that Mike and I did a podcast about both sides, the ChatGPT, and it was only version 3, the word-based version, like we're writing, and then we also did one on a Sojourner and image-based, right? Since we did that, which is only, a week or so ago, ChatGPT has gone up to number 4.
Right.
Right? And we spent a lot of time talking about how the image-based one couldn't do hands and fingers and stuff.
Okay.
And now they've fixed all the hands.
It's
like
crazy.
It's totally. So like in a, now again, this just, maybe it's just happenstance, but in a week, it's already leveled up. I mean, and so it's only going to keep going up and up and up and up in terms of like, here's videos of things that didn't even exist.
I don't really. I mean, I'm I'm an old guy, and technology is
you're not that old
passing me quickly, passing me by. No, I don't understand. I don't understand what it is. I mean, I do understand what it. I understand how it works. No, I understand what it does. I don't understand how it does what it does. I don't. I mean.
Well, I'm kind of with you on that one. Is it just because is it open to the internet or is it its own enclosed ecosystem? How, you know, its own machine learning. So, I mean, we've worked with other agents or with other agencies, excuse me, with other industries where it's machine to machine learning, right? Yeah. Where machines are diagnosing problems with other pieces of equipment out in the field, right? Cell phone towers, things like that, right? So, you know, it's a level up of that. So, all right, you've got the pencil. You've got it from charcoal to pencils, and then from pencils to typewriters.
We'll go pen. And there's then, a pen in between there.
And then typewriters to computers, right? I think, you know, outside of digital, you know, digital photography, you know, it definitely is Creative Suite and just the, you know, if we're talking about software and ChatGPT and whatever, I mean, you know, I've been rocking it since the beginning. So, I mean, pre-Photoshop layers. I mean, Photoshop 3 was when layers came into existence. And it was like, oh, my word.
That was a game changer.
Yeah, that was a game changer. You know, now we're at, I don't know, Photoshop 25 or something along those lines, you know?
Right.
So, you know, that's, you know, I mean, keeping the image-based thing going, it would be, outside of digital photography, it would be the advent of stock photography and royalty-free imagery.
Yep.
Yeah, so like... At the beginning of the career, you know, I was a proud hoarder, meaning I would find things all over the place, all over the field. I'd be like, oh my God, look at that cool gum wrapper in the gutter. And then I'd run back to the office and scan that in to get that texture, that crackle or whatever, you know, or we would, you know, take photo, we would take paper and crumple it up and scan it. You know, we had to basically create all of our own textures and systems for clients. And it was kind of, you're kind of always... like a, almost like an antiquer, like this kind of junker, just like finding things in the world that you could use, you know, in your digital asset files, right? Well, now it's like, oh my God, Rob, if you want a crumpled paper texture, it's like, oh, well, which one of these 10,000 files would you like?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like it's like, whoa. I mean, so, I mean, stock photography and whatnot definitely has transformed workflow, I think for the better. And it is definitely speedier.
And it's more affordable. I mean, to your point, you know, when stock photography first came out, it was like there really wasn't royalty-free stock. It was like you had to go to Getty and pay.
Yeah. Well, the big jump was photo disc. You used to be able to buy an album of photo disc, and they were all theme-based. You know, it's kind of like the Now This Is Music, Volume 26.
Yeah.
It was like that for stock photography, right? And at the beginning, it was so limited, you know, when we were working on... pool care stuff.
Yeah.
Remember it was like, oh, there's only so many pictures of little kids underwater with goggles on.
Yeah.
And unfortunately you'd go to like a trade show and it's like,
there's the, wow, we're all using the same picture.
Yeah. That's when clients kind of became aware of, wait a minute, the difference between rights managed and royalty free.
Right.
And it's like, oh yeah, it's, if it's cheap and readily available, other people are going to use it. You know, that type of thing. Right. So, but stock photography, I think, you know, when utilized correctly is definitely an advantage for us and for clients.
Yep.
You know, you get a good, great, high quality image now. So
I think, I mean, just on the whole, you've got advances like, and again, the internet is really the provider of a lot of these or the host of most of these advances, but everything from like, you know, we're sitting here recording and it sounds really good.
Yeah.
Right. In our own little space.
Yeah.
Like voiceover stuff. You can go anywhere online and get voiceover stuff done. You no longer have to go out and cast the talent, bring them into the studio.
Yeah. Be in the same room.
Be in the same room, you know, direct them and do all that kind of thing. And that's a good thing. And it's also a bad thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it just sort of depends on, it depends on the task at hand.
Well, it begs the question of quality, a lot of things. You know what I mean?
Correct.
As things get more and more readily available, you know.
Correct.
Does everything kind of become the McDonald's of that version? Where, yeah, it's everywhere, but that doesn't mean it's great anymore. So.
But then if you think about, like, you know, just from a straight, again, just technical standpoint, what Photoshop's and some of those programs have allowed to do. I mean, if you think about the advances in, like, animation and 3D, and you know, production value,
yeah,
is absolutely through the roof.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
What you could do. I mean, just look at the Marvel movies or any, you know, Avatar or any of these things.
Yeah, all the stuff. The production value is incredible. I would say just to flip the script, my own personal opinion, I would say that a lot of this stuff, you know, where I'm going with this is, has there been any negative adverse effects to any of this stuff? I would say printing has gone backwards because of all this. And I don't mean that printers have gotten worse. I'd say that quality control for printing and sort of the arts and crafts side of printing has gone backwards, where people don't necessarily care as much about the quality. They certainly don't care about the paper, you know. And you had asked me a question on a way earlier podcast. Hey, when was the last time you went on a press check? You know, it's like, well, it's not a hot button issue anymore, you know. So you don't now certain brands. We pick on the Coca-Colas of the world, right? I mean, absolutely brand asset. Coca-Cola Red's got to be Coca-Cola Red, you know? And when you go to a grocery store, you want to make sure all of that lines up across all the different substrates, right? But for the most part, it's like clients can be just, hey, send me that file. And then God knows where that thing gets printed.
You know? And then you're sending off your business card to get, you know, Vistaprint or wherever is digital printing.
Yeah.
So your business card isn't going to line up with this.
No.
But clients are okay with that these days.
I know.
That used to be a no.
Yeah, it used to be a hardcore no. Everything had to be printed at the, you know, offset printing, two-color Heidelberg press for your business cards, that type of thing, right? Now it's Mary Jo's card in Seattle doesn't look anything like Fred's card in Tampa. You know, that type of thing.
Also, too, depending on what you're sending off to print, of course. But now, like, oftentimes, we don't even get asked what type of paper.
Yeah.
It's just kind of assumed now. Where it used to be, no. You have, like, books of paper and samples and things and so many choices and varnishes and coatings. And you still have those, depending on what you're doing, again.
Yeah.
But it's, I would tend to agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, when was the last time I was a press check? 10 years ago. But when was the last time I did an ink drawdown?
Oh, gosh.
Right, where you have your corporate colors, and then you do a drawdown on different substrates and different papers and different whatever to make sure it is what you know. It's like, dude, 20 years?
A long time.
You know, I don't know if any printers are listening to this, but they might be chuckling in their car right now, right? So, I think that, you know, that's a tough industry to be in because it is a commodity-based, and it's a volume-based and a speed-based business for sure. But, I do miss a little bit of the nostalgia of the craft of printing versus the immediacy speed of just, you know, command print.
Right.
So.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. All right. Well, all good conversation. I think we could probably continue and talk for ad nauseum about these types of things.
But I think these are some good highlights.
Yeah, I think so. All right. We're going to wrap it up on this rainy Friday. We're going to go back to low voice.
Library
to take us out of here. I'll tell the people where they can find us on the interwebs at mocktheagency.com or on the socials at mocktheagency.
I love it.
Send us your comments, feedback,
Cool.
questions, concerns, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thanks, everybody.